So let's turn to Hebrews chapter 13. That's where we're going to start off this morning. But I want to talk about angels' ministry today. I don't want to talk, we're not really going this morning. If you want to title this, we're going to title it Angels 101. We're not going to look at angels, what they did in the Old Testament. We're not even going to look at Revelations, what they're going to do after Jesus, the rapture of the church. We're not even going to look at that. We're going to look at the church age, what angels are doing right now in our life. Hey, can I ask this question? And maybe, I don't know, maybe we'll see. Maybe you're not comfortable answering this question, but I've talked about it and I haven't really taken a survey. So let's take a survey really quick, because we know there's a theory of pre-trib, mid-trib, and post-trib. In other words, that we go before the Antichrist gets up, before all the destruction on this earth that is caused by the Antichrist. And then there's a group that believe that we go during the middle of it. And then there's a group that believes we'll go after it is all done. So let's just take a quick survey. If you believe we are going before the Antichrist steps into power, let me see your hand. That's the majority of you. I want to be with you. I really do. I tend to believe that way, but I want to. So mid-trib, we go during the middle of it. One, two. Oh, and one disagrees with their spouse. I love when that happens. That blesses my heart, because it just like you, there are times that my wife has not been enlightened on the word of God as much as I have. And we disagree on a couple issues. I love it. All right. And so, post-trib, we go afterwards. Couple. Oh, this is wonderful. We have everyone represented in this group. I love it. But yet, somehow, we all still like each other for the majority. We all still like each other and can worship with each other. And I think that is wonderful. And, you know, I believe, you know, that is key. That is, can I tell you this too? That's also a sign of maturity. Do you know what? I don't have to change Ryan's beliefs on everything. There's some of it that was messed up that I'm so glad that he got it right. But there's some things he could disagree with me, and we can debate, and I do love debate. And you know what? When you debate, don't get nasty. That's just wrong. That's mean. That's just horrible. You could absolutely be right and debate in the wrong manner, and you have to apologize because you were nasty. All right. And that's not the point. Anyway, I mean, there's some things that we won't get answered at all. And I love talking about things out in the ethers and looking at every options, and we may never know. But I just enjoy speculating. And I also enjoy sometimes just bringing up stuff that makes no sense and just see what people's response, not in service, but, you know, just one-on-one. I enjoy that. And I love hearing people and what they think. Because I'm going to tell you something. God is so much more creative than I ever was or am. Hello. And he has done things that I guarantee my mind, if I truly comprehended it, would explode on the inside of my skull. I would not be able to comprehend everything that God has done in the way he's done it. I mean, even studying the last series I did, I would have to stop and go into Nett's office, make a cup of coffee and sit down. And she's like, are you done? I'm like, no. But if I continue anymore, I don't know if I will make it through. My brain is hurting from trying to come to a conclusion on some things. And so we can disagree. Aren't you thankful? I'm so glad. All right. Have y'all found Hebrews chapter 13? All right, it says, be not forgetful. Say, not forgetful. This lets me know that at some time that the church was forgetful. And not only does it let me know they were forgetful, but at one time they were not forgetful. Do you know, when you have to be reminded, hey, don't forget about that, it means you already knew it at one time. So the church has known about this at one time, and then at some point begin to get nonchalant with some things and begin to forget. And what does it say? To entertain strangers. To entertain strangers. Do you know, at one time, maybe this was you, I'm sure I'm talking to other churches and they're listening by podcast, none of you, but maybe there was a time that, you know, somebody came in new to the church and you would actually go over and say, hey, and introduce yourself. Say, hi, I can't say that I've seen you here before. Well, you know, and introduce yourself and meet new people. And do you know, the Bible actually says that the people of God should be hospitable. Oh, Oh, how interesting. We should be hospitable people. We should be good at entertaining. And I'm not saying song and dance, but that may be what you are. You may enjoy that. And maybe when people come over, you put the kids out on display and they play music and they put on a show, a puppet show with their horrible socks with holes in them. I don't know what it is, how you entertain people, but we should be hospitable. And, you know, and I understand, now I will say this too, I used to pick up every hitchhiker I ever saw. I would always pick them up. And when I got married, Jesse said, please don't ever do that. And I understand her safety and her concern, and I understand in the crazy world we live in today that, you know, you must be led by the Spirit of God in all you do. And, you know, one of the best, can I tell you just one of the best stories of me picking up a hitchhiker? I want to tell you this one. It was actually on 9/11. I was actually driving, guess where? Madison, Wisconsin. That was my goal. And right on, I was getting onto I-10, or the interstate, and there was a hitchhiker with a sign, and I thought, what the heck, I'll pick him up. Pulled over, picked him up, and 9/11 was going on, so we had a lot to talk about. And as I'm going up, I said, where are you going? He says, I'm going all the way to Memphis. I said, I'm going to drive through Memphis. I'll take you the whole way. He's like, oh, thank God. He's like, so nice. And so he's like, well, so where are you going? I said, I'm going to Wisconsin. He's like, what's taking you to Wisconsin? I said, I'm going to work for a church up there. He said, really? What church are you going to? And I talked to him about it. I said, oh, we're actually Word of Faith. He's like, Word of Faith, huh? I said, yes. He said, I actually used to go to Billy Joe Daugherty's church. He said, before, you know, I was homeless and the things that happened to me happened. He says, I was a faithful attender. He says, I was a truck driver. And he said, my wife was diagnosed with cancer and believing God. And said, later she died. She went home to be with the Lord. And he said, I was so angry. I was so mad with the church. I was so mad. I felt disappointed. I felt devastated. And he says, I left the church. I quit. And he said, then all my bills piled up and I didn't want it. He said, I was so depressed that I just didn't go to work anymore. I didn't take loads anymore. And he says, then I just began to lose things. And I lost my truck and I lost my home and I just lost everything. And he said, I was devastated. And he says, I just never darkened the doors of a church again. I said, well, I said, I hate to hear that. I said, I really do. And as we continue to drive, I said, so what's bringing you to Memphis? He's like, I'm trying to get my life back together. I'm going to work for a trucking company up there. I have a job interview. And he said, I want to work for him. And so as we continued, we talked about God and we talked about teaching. And he knew the message. He knew the word. It was on the inside of him. He may have walked away from the Lord, but the word of God that's on the inside of him did not leave him. And so as we were able to talk about God, he began to chime in. And I stopped at Cracker Barrel, you know, because the Lord is there. And I told him, I mean, if they serve sweet tea, that is the Lord. Our diabetes. But I asked him, I said, would you like to, I said, I'm going to stop here to eat. And he says, well, I'll just wait outside for you. I said, no, I want you to eat. I said, you need to go to a job interview. You need to be fed. You don't need to be hungry. So come on in with me. And he said, well, I can't pay for it. I said, all right, that's fine. I'll take care of it. And so I took him in and he ate, I ate. We had a good conversation. And afterwards, I mean, his clothes were pretty ratty. And also, you know, you could tell that he was in the hot Florida sun for quite some time. Yeah. And so I remember, I bought him dinner, and afterwards I said, let's walk around. And there was a polo shirt that didn't have Cracker Barrel on it, just a polo shirt they were selling. I said, you know what? When you go to your job interview, you need a better shirt than this. I said, let's get you this shirt. And he said, well, I can't pay for that. I said, I know. I said, we've already had this conversation. I know that you can't pay for any of this. I want to get it for you. I said, well, so let's find some pants in here. And guess what? They had some long dress pants as well that went with us. I said, let's get this. And we got all that. And I said, also, I got him some wipes, you know, a whole thing. And I said, this will help. I said, I learned this in a missionary trip. If you ain't got a shower, your best next friend is wipes, baby wipes. They are amazing. I was on a missionary trip one time, and we were on the bus, and we were all dirty, and I had these wipes out, and I'm wiping my face down, getting clean, and you're throwing them in my bag. And one of the guys beside me says, I'll give you $100 for 5 of them. You'll be amazed. I really should have sold them, but I gave them to him. in case you were wondering. I mean, what a return on an investment, right? A great opportunity. But I gave them anyway. But I told him, I said, you know, I learned that, and it's great that right before, you know, you're able, and he said yes. And so we got it all for him, got it all packaged up. And on the way there, as it's getting late, he fell asleep, and we're driving, and we're getting close. And before he wakes up, and he says, what? He's like, you know, I know why, but I can't help but ask, what made you stop? What made you stop and pick me up? He's like, out of all the people who could have picked me out, it was you. What made you stop? And I looked at him and I told him, I said, I do not believe that this is a chance. I believe this is an encounter by God, ordained from the foundations of the earth for me to meet you for no other point, to show you that God still loves you, to show you. And I wasn't preachy just as soon as I thought, well, my God, you need to get your life right. If you got your life right and you held it together, maybe you wouldn't have lost everything. You don't think he's under enough condemnation? Let's be led by the Spirit of God in all that we do. And I told him, I said, I believe this was a chance that has been put together by the Lord. And, you know, I told him, I said, if you want to accept Jesus back into your heart, renounce all that you went through, I said, I want to pray with you. And he said, you know, I would like that. And we prayed, and he asked for forgiveness, and he stepped back in to his relationship with the Lord that day. I dropped him off in front of the agency that he was supposed to meet at the next day. Never talked to the man again. Am I trying to say that he's an angel according to the scriptures? Absolutely not. I believe he was a human being. But we are to entertain. Could you throw my scripture back up there for me? It says, let us entertain strangers, that thereby some have entertained angels unaware. It's so interesting. I had a minister friend who is a part of a denomination. Part of it. Most of my minister friends come from other denominations, not of the stream of faith that we are in, but other denominations. And I won't say the denomination he's in, but he told a friend of his that he saw an angel. Well, his friend told another friend who told another friend who told another friend, who somehow exploded among their denomination, and it went all the way to the ups, the big wigs at the top. They called him in for a meeting, asked him to tell the story. He told the story. And then they said, well, we're going to have to get a committee together, and we're going to have to figure out whether we can keep you in our denomination or not. Wow. They were debating kicking him out because he stated he saw an angel. And I was talking with him, and he says, I don't know what to do, Tim. I'm scared. I'm going to lose everything. I said, well, if you lose everything, don't worry. I said, we'll accept you a part of us. And I joked, and I said, well, you can come serve me for a while until you get back on your feet. And that was murderous for him to think about. And so in this whole deal, he said it was all going in the wrong direction. He said he was allowed to be in the meeting, and he was. And he said everybody was talking about, what do we do with this minister who says he saw an angel? And it wasn't real, this story. And they began to contemplate whether or not God would show up in this manner. Sounds like the religious people of Jesus' day. And then one guy stood up and said, and he said it was the oldest pastor in the room. Said, who are we to judge a servant of God? And he said, do we believe in angels or do we not? And if we do, so what if he saw one? Why are we even here today? And he said that all of a sudden everybody began to agree, and they dismissed the whole deal. And afterward they told him, just don't talk about it. Isn't it interesting? We like that you believe that, but just don't talk about it. And I'm going to tell you something. Angels are real today. Amen. And they are in the church age. And they have a job to do. And we're going to talk about their job. So we need to be at a place at the church that we entertain strangers. It's part of our calling to be hospitable. And I'm not saying you have to pick up hitchhikers. God, no. Be led by the Spirit of God in all you do. And, I'm not going to get into it. But always take safety precautions. Always take safety precautions. And if you're small framed, maybe you need to carry a big stick. I'm just saying, whatever. I just think you should take all precautions and believe God. Back home, from the South, they say this on a regular basis. A piece of God, you have the piece of God and a piece of steel, and you'll make it and be fine. All right. I'm not telling you what to do. I'm just telling you to consider God's ways and to be smart in this world as well. God says that we should be wise in this world. Hello? Okay. So when, you know, we need to be entertaining people and recognize that there could be angels that we have met. I believe that you will meet angels and not know them. I believe you will have encounters with angels and you won't know about them until you get to heaven. And then there'll be some of you that absolutely will entertain angels and will know it. And can I say this? There are more angels in this place right now than people. Amen. There are more angels on the earth than people. They are here. And we're going to get into some questions this morning, and we're going to answer them to the best of our ability. We're going to answer, what are angels? We're going to talk about where do angels rank in creation? Have you ever wondered that? That's a good one. And then how about this? How many angels are there? We're going to get into all this morning. Are you excited about that?
Amen.
I know that you are. Psalms 91 tells us that angels watch over us and protect us in all our ways. Somebody better say, all your ways. The Bible tells us that the angel of the Lord encamps around them that fear him and deliver them. Now, this scripture here, it has two parts to it. Because everybody will quote, angels encamp all the way around you. Well, I don't know your relationship with God, even if you have one. And the Bible does not tell me that those who do not honor God, I didn't even tell you where to go. But the Bible tells us that God, the angels encamp around those who fear the Lord. Well, what does that definition mean? To honor God. The Bible tells us that if we honor the Lord, angels encamp around us. So that does not mean the lost have angels encamping around them. Do they pass by angels all the time? I guarantee they do. But it does not encamp around them. And if we look at the word encamp, it actually means to, basically, if you want to translate it directly into English, live with. It, you know, it says God inhabits, and it means inhabits. And so your home are angels' homes. Your car are angels' cars. Wherever you go, they go with you. And I think some of our angels walk around and look at us and are very bored. And then I think some other angels walk around with us and they have a lot to do. And I believe the more you get into, in some of you, your mind instantly went to being, you know, withdrawn. And a little, no, I'm not talking about that. When you start to get the word on the inside of you, when you start to step into God's plan more than you have ever stepped into God's plan, I believe you have more angels that have to step into their deal. Because if you're not bothering the kingdom of darkness, your angels probably don't have a whole lot to do. But once you step into your calling, once you start living the way the Bible tells you to live, once you start doing what God has called you to do, that's when your angels have to start standing guard around you. And I want to tell you this, angels will stop things from happening to you that you never even knew were about to happen.
Amen. Amen.
Mm. Oh, I don't want to get ahead of myself in other teachings, but I want to tell you this. The Bible says that angels hearken unto the voice, or to the word of God, to the voice of the word. And so who gives the word the voice? We do. Now, God speaks and they listen to him. When you speak God's word, they listen to you. I think sometimes they're confused. I really believe that they are. Because, you know, they're not like us. They're not like us. They're different than us. And we're going to get into it. But, you know, you walk around and be like, hey, kids, stay out of the middle of the road. A car is going to hit you. And I wonder if angels say, why in the world would they want a car to hit them? But let's stand. If that's what they want, I guess we hearken unto the words. Interesting. I'm not going to get deep into that. We'll get deep into that later. But just want to give you that for a train of thought. Let's turn in our Bibles. We're going to go to Hebrews chapter 1. And I just want to tell a story about an angel. I believe angels are assigned to cities. There's different calls for angels. There's different types of angels. Oh, I love this one. Let's just go ahead and do this one right now. Archangels, how many do we have record of?
One.
Y'all are smarter. I teach y'all too well, I guess. No, that's not true. Now, but my statement is, you know, most people will say how many? How many would most people say? Two or three is what most people would say. But why do they say that? Because one angel went to Daniel and said the archangel Michael was fighting for me to get here. God heard you the day. Now, we also know Old Testament, different covenant. But he said he was fighting to get here. And they automatically believe that the angel that delivered the message was an archangel. We actually only have record of one archangel in the canon scriptures. We only have one record of that. So I just find that interesting that most people believe that the messenger was also an archangel. My personal opinion is if he was an archangel, he really wouldn't have needed Michael to help him. He could have fought. He delivered the message. So there are different places and different, and we also know the cherubim, right? The cherubim, and most people paint them as real fat babies with little bitty wings and a heart, but that's not what they are. If you want to know what they are, look at the description of the Ark of the Covenant. They had wings, and we get all on this whole wing thing. And when I did this, I made sure there were no feathers and there were no wings. I wanted to make sure there were no wings on these things because we get in that mentality, but we only have record of four angels having wings. Possibly five if we want to get into Lucifer because it said he was a cherub of the anointed of the cherub. Right. So before he fell, before he became Satan, it said that he was the anointed of the cherub. So maybe he had wings. But other than that, we see no wings on angels when they appeared. Now, if I'm wrong and all angels have wings, who cares? What does it change? Nothing. But in all of this, we have this mentality of angels, and the church draws these pictures of angels, and I am not comforted by fat babies that fly around. I am comforted by these big old guys that when I need help, they're able there to help. You know, I don't want to be like, oh, the devil's coming after Tim. Let's go. That does not, and if they were, I'm sure they would be able to defeat the enemy. But I like the idea of warriors. I like that idea. And so I think the church has the wrong picture. But before we get into the teaching, you know, I believe angels, some are over cities. I believe some are over you. And not, you know, we have the mentality of one. No, you have legions of angels that are assigned just to you. Now, some people may not give them a whole lot of work to do, but you got legions. There are a lot more of them than there be of us. And if we could see in the spirit world, they would be jam-packed into this room. They would be so many that they're saying, I believe there's angels that are taller than the room, angels that, you know, we'll get into it. But it's just interesting, the mentality that we have of angels. And the more I study, the more I find that we are wrong as a church painting a picture of these winged creatures going around. And so I believe there are some that are over cities, some that are over family, some that are over just you. And what gets them there? We'll get into that later. But my daddy tells this story, and I remember hearing this as a kid. Now, my grandfather on my dad's side, Sadler's side, was a farmer. What grade did he make it to? Third or fourth before my great-grandfather pulled him out of school and said, son, you're going to be a farmer. You don't need to do all this stuff. You got to help us on the farm. And so my grandfather quit school and helped on the farm. And so he could not read and write. He could, when I was a teenager, I remember he looked at me one time and said, and he was mighty proud of himself. He pointed to a stop sign and said, son, that's a stop sign. It says STOP. Am I right? I said, yes, sir, you're right. Smiles, He could sign his name. He could spell milk, but he couldn't put it together. He could not spell for the majority. It was just words that he saw all the time that he knew. And my grandmother taught him how to sign. He didn't know how to sign his name when he got married. When he signed a contract, he put an X on it because he could not read or write. Now, that blow, I'd see younger people looking at me like, word? I mean, yeah, it was just a different time, a different age. My grandfather got married. I'm trying to think how old he was. He wasn't that old. Then on my other side, they just get married early and just have babies very quickly. And so it was just a whole different time. And so my grandmother goes in for surgery. Her name was Monica. He called her Monk. And she was going into surgery, and he was actually very afraid. He was fearful that she might die. There was a chance that she would. Small, but it was still there. And he was concerned that if she died, what would he do? Because he depended on her for everything. Every contract he ever did, she had to read it. Everything that ever happened, she's the one. Because in his day, he just shook hands and it was done. And now we got into a time where he had to sign contracts. And he was afraid that if without Monk, what would he do? And my daddy said that the family was in the hospital and they were there, and my grandfather had his head down, and my dad just had his hand on his back and was praying, and the family was just praying in the room. And they said this guy walked in said that he was dressed in clothes that looked like he stepped out of 1930. And said he was just kind of hunched over a little bit. And can I just remind you that angels are not hunched over, but they can appear as they need to. Says they can appear in forms that are pleasing to people. And they know what won't freak you out. And they know what would. And if I was an angel, I probably would show up to freak you out just for the fun of it. But angels probably don't have that type of sense of humor. And so said the man walked up to my grandfather and put his hand out and shook his hand. And he said, Mr. Sadler, I want you to know something. Monk is going to be perfectly fine. And he said he continued to talk to my grandfather. And he said it was all about my grandmother and how she was going to be okay. And then he ended and said, Mr. Sadler, I want you to understand, as you hear me, that Monk is going to be perfectly fine. And my granddaughter said, yes, sir, I heard you. Thank you so much. Shook his hand again. And the man turned around and started walking away. And my daddy said, as he got about 15 feet away where my dad said, you know, he didn't think that the man would be able to hear him. He said, Daddy, who is that? And my grandfather stated, son, I've never seen the man before in my life. And he made it through some doors. And my dad said it wasn't 5 seconds that those doors shut that he went up and opened them. And he said he couldn't find the man. And there were rooms and he's looking down aisles and going through the hospital and he couldn't find the man. And my daddy came back to my grandfather and said, I can't find him. I looked everywhere. And so that time passed. And then it's about, my daddy said, 6 to 7 years, he wasn't 100% sure. Later, this was in Panama City, a hospital in Tallahassee. My grandfather's sister was having surgery and she was dying. She flatlined, and her son was there, and they were all praying. The family was there, and they were having a session. And my father said, just as soon as they were done praying, and the level settled down, and said the son was still weeping, and people were still crying, said this old man walked in, kind of hunched over, dressed in a suit that looked like it came out of the 20s, and he started walking over to the son, and he said, he reached his hand out to the son, and he said, just as soon as he reached his hand out, he said, that man looks familiar. And my grandfather was sitting by my dad and said, Daddy, does that man look familiar? Do you think you know that man? He says, yeah, he looks familiar, but I can't place him. And my daddy said, I couldn't think of where he was. And he said that right at the end, he shook his hand, and he said, Daddy, that's the man that was in Panama City at the hospital that talked to you. And he said, my granddaddy looked and said, that's where I know him from. That's him. And my daddy said he was walking away and there was double doors and he opened the door. The door shut. My father said the door just shut. And he said, my hand was on it. And as I opened the door, he was not there. And he said, this time it was a long hallway with no exits. He said there was no way that man could move that fast, even if he was not, you know, shuffling along. And he went back and he went to the my great aunt's son and said, what did he tell you? He said, he shook my hand. He said, well, first he asked him, do you know him? He says, no, I've never met him before in my life. He said, what did he tell you? He said, he told me that my mama was going to be perfectly fine and not to worry. And he said, then he just talked about the day in a little bit. And he said, he ended it with telling me, now, did you hear me? I'm telling you, your mother's going to be fine. There's no need to worry. She recovered and was perfectly fine. My father told him, he says, I know that man came and told the whole story. He said, that was an angel of God. And went back over to my grandfather and said, I walked out. He disappeared. Have no idea where he was. I truly, personally believe that was an angel of the Lord. Two hospitals, 100 and something miles away from each other. Or probably more like 75. 75 miles away from each other, out of different cities, in different counties. The same man in the same attire show up. There are angels that are over families. There are angels that are over your life, and they will show up. And you won't always need to see them. And some people may go their whole life and never recognize that they've come in contact with an angel. But I'm going to tell you, I believe every person comes in contact with an angel before they end their walk with God. The Bible tells us not to get to a point where we don't recognize, where we don't entertain, and we don't expect to see angels. So we need to not be forgetful. Look at your neighbor and say, don't be forgetful. So what is an angel? Now, the Hebrew word and the Greek word mean the same thing. The Hebrew word is malach, and the Greek word is angelos, which where we get the word for Los Angeles, right, out of the Latin, and it is Los Angeles, the city of angels, is where we get the word angels from. The definition means messengers of God. So what are angels? They are messengers of God. This is what I want you to get. See, there's a lot of junk that's out there about angels. Some of it's pretty nice sounding, but it's still not biblical, nor is it there. I want you to be able to walk out of this place and have a biblical understanding so you can help other believers. You know, when you start talking about this, you'll find out what other people believe in. It is crazy. They believe that when you go home to be with the Lord, that you sprout wings and you become an angel. That is not true. Yeah, I hate to upset your wife, but you will never make it to angel status. You will never be there. You're never a time that your spirit will change over and be an angel of God. You are a son and daughter of the Lord. To take the place of just the messenger of the Lord would take a step down from the position that you are in.
Right.
I need to see that was a weak amen, but we'll go with it. Hebrews 1 and 7. Are you there? It says, and of the angels, he said, who maketh his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire. Now, write this scripture down. Colossians 1 and 16. Well, actually, turn there. We need to go there. We need to go there. So we're going to answer what are angels. And, you know, let's just also answer who made angels. This is might be where you disagree with me a little bit, but it's going to be minor if you do. And some of you are going to think about it and say, ah. And you may go home and study and then agree with me. And or you may go home and study and say, oh, no, Pastor missed it again. And you would be wrong, and we'll find out when we're in heaven. Just kidding. Come on, y'all should be able to laugh more. This is a good, these are good subjects. And we're allowed to laugh in church, and you are allowed to get my jokes. So you found Colossians 1 and 16. It says, by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth. Who are we talking about here? Boom! You said it loud. If you said God, you would not be wrong. But it is Christ Jesus. It is the Son of God. So who created angels? Who created everything in this earth? It was Jesus Christ himself. If you study, because a couple of verses before, we read this in context. You got to read before and you got to read after to put scripture in its context. And it says, by who we are redeemed. Who are we redeemed by? Jesus. This is talking about him. Two verses later, him.
Yes.
Jesus, the Son of God. He is the one who created the angels. See, now he didn't do anything that wasn't the will of God. And see, we got to understand their roles too. God the Father speaks. Jesus did work. The Holy Spirit moved upon as well. They all worked as a team. It was the will of God, but who created them? Jesus Christ, the Son of God. What happens if you disagree with me? Nothing. I love it. I love it. And what happens if I'm wrong and we get to heaven and God says, excuse me, Tim, actually it was me, not Jesus. I would, nothing. Everything is fine. But I just believe that by scripture you can prove this, that it was Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who created everything. And we can continue to read that created that are in heaven. So Jesus created everything that's in heaven. And he also created everything that is in earth. He created everything visible and invisible. Whether there be thrones or dominions or principalities or power, or all things were created by him and for him. God, Jesus, the Son of the Lord, created angels.
Yeah.
And he created them for a purpose. All angels were created by Jesus Christ. Now, two, are you ready? Where do angels rank in creation? Well, let's just talk about the rank of creation. Who's at the top? God the Father is at the top. We got God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And then let's turn to Psalms chapter 8. Get to Psalms chapter 8. Now, we're the faith people. We're going to talk about this scripture. You know it. You know it. You put it on the inside of you. And you even know the definition of the word here. But we're going to talk about it. And I'd like to lighten it up a little bit. And maybe point out something maybe you haven't thought about. Are you ready? It says, Psalms chapter 4 and verse 8, what is man that thou art mindful of him? We're talking about God. Why is God mindful of man? The Son of Man, that thou visitest him. Ready? Verse 5. For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Now, Word of Faith people are going to tell you this word angel is the word what? Anyone? Elohim. Where do we see the word Elohim? We see it in Genesis 1, where Elohim, God, created the heavens and the earth. And so most Word of Faith people will say, this is translated wrong. That the word angels, keep it up for me, that the word angels here is the word Elohim. Can you pop that back up for me? Elohim, which means God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. But I want to bring up to my Word of Faith friends that this word angels, true, is only translated angels here. Only. This is the only time. But Elohim is not only translated God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, but it is also translated goddess, false gods. So the same word we use for God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit in Hebrew is the same word you use false gods. They use the same word. And you got to know what context it is in. So there is a debate among Christians whether God is saying here that mankind is created a little lower than Jesus Christ or mankind is actually created a little lower than angels. Now, I would like to just put this out there for your thought. Are you ready? What if it is actually correctly translated angels? What if? Let's just go with that for a moment. I'm not 100% convinced that it is, and I'm not 100% convinced that it's not. But let's say that it's got it correct. The only time that Elohim is translated angels, let's just say they have it correct here. Let's continue to read. What is and? Well, I mean, you've learned this in school. You learned this by watching cartoons in the morning. It is a conjunction, junction. What's your function? And then we could get all things. I love Schoolhouse Rock. I think it's great. It's putting two parts together. You can't have the first part without the last part. Now, so if God created man a little lower than the angels, then it states, and has crowned him with glory and honor. I would like to put out there that if this is really talking about angels as we know them, then all right, in stature, we are created a little lower than the angels, but in position, we are put over them. Because the angels never have his glory, and they never have his honor. That was reserved for mankind. Angels never turn into the sons and daughters of God, but people, when they accept Jesus as their Savior, are transformed out of just being human and go into being the sons and daughters of God. So if we are created a little lower in stature than angels, yes, they are stronger than us. Yes, they are quicker than us. But no angel has ever been anointed with the glory of God and his honor. No angel did Jesus go to the cross for. What is man that you would visit him? We are the creation, and from the very beginning, the plan for sons and daughters for God Almighty. And no angel ever fits that description. That is why we never want to be angels. We want to be sons and daughters of God. And the church has come up with stuff such as, God needed another angel in heaven, so he took so and so home. First of all, if God needed other angels, then he did not plan correctly. And maybe he is not the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning from the end. It's easy to plan when you know the ending. It's very easy to plan. When time does not exist for you, you can plan. Be like, you know, Jesus, I was only going to create X number of angels. But I just looked way into the future and realize the earth is going to go on for this long, and I'm going to need to have this many humans. And if I'm going to give each of them at least a billion angels, this is the amount I got to have. I'm not saying there is a billion, you know, for each person. I have no idea. But what I'm saying is God knew the beginning from the end, and he created and had a plan from the beginning. When someone goes home, they do not turn into an angel. So let's go ahead and kill that mentality. So Elohim, we said that it is created or translated for God, big G, 2,346 times. Little g, false God, is translated 244 times. And angel, once. So, does it mean God or does it mean angel? Either way, it still gives us the good news that we are anointed with His glory and His honor. And when we become children of God, we in position outrank them. How many of you parents own a business? Any of them? My grandparents owned a business. And I worked for my grandparents. And when I was young, I worked for him when I was 5, 6, 7 years old. When I could pump gas, I was working for him. And then he always said, Tim, your hands are so small. When I was a little boy, he said, I need you when I change semi-tires. Your hand can reach right in there, grab the stem, that little bitty hole, and pull it out. My hand's too big. So I was changing semi-tires as a little boy. Well, helping my grandfather, they did all the work. I just grabbed the stem and pulled it through. So in all of this, you know what? There were people who outranked me in strength, outranked me in ability, outranked me in knowledge. But you want to know something? My position with my grandfather meant I outranked all of them. And if I wanted something, they better take care of the needs that I had at the moment. Because if you made me upset, you made my grandfather upset. And my grandfather always gave his grandkids, if he had it in his ability, everything that they needed. And he loved us a little more than he did all the other workers. Mm-hmm. Mm. And so I outranked them. And they may have been able to beat the mess out of me. They may have not have liked me, but they were going to fake it. Because if they wanted a favor with my grandfather, you wanted to please him, you please his family. And that pleased him. So if I wanted a soda, you know, they would give me a soda. If I was tired and wanted a break, they gave me a break. You think they gave the other employees a break? Uh-uh. And I guarantee you some of those employees griped and complained, what? He doesn't even, and I got paid. And you want to know? I got paid more than they did. Per hour. In the 80s. Now, we you know the backstory to this, so I'm not going to go in the backstory. But in the 80s, I made $15 an hour at my granddaddy's station. I made more per hour than every worker he had. You know how I felt about that? Pretty darn good. Now, the backstory is I got caught on fire at his station. We're not going to go into it. We'll go into it another time. So stick around if you want to hear that story. And then I got put out. Now, I was perfectly fine, thank God, because I was coated in gasoline when it happened. But you know, they teach you stop, drop, and roll. That's the last thing that goes through your mind when you're on fire. You want to know what the first thing that goes through your mind? Run! That's what goes through your mind. And that's what I did. But thankfully, my uncle, who was, you know, probably 400 pounds plus, was able to jump on me, smother me, and put the fire out. When he jumped on me, it was like, boom, boom. But I was very thankful for him and all his glory. Let's turn to Psalms 103. So we have seen that angels were created by God. They were created for God, by the Son of God. Angels rank in heaven. They may be a little above us in stature, maybe or maybe not. But if they are, we outrank them in position. In Psalms 103 and verse 20 says, bless the Lord, yea, his angels that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearken unto the voice of his word. The voice of what? The voice of what? His word. I believe we should be speaking God's word because angels hearken to the voice of God's word. Whether God speaks it or whether you speak it, they hearken to the voice of God's word.
That's right. Mm. Amen. That's right.
Let's turn to Job 38. We got a couple more scriptures to go through, and then we're ending here. And next week, I'm not going to go as long as I did this week. You believe that?
No.
Well, then the angels are going to hearken unto your words. Let me ask again. I'm not going to go as long next week. Do you believe that?
No.
Well, then I guess I will not disappoint if I don't. You're horrible. I was hoping for a yes, but I didn't even get a one. Job chapter 38 and verse 4. Where hast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth. So basically the backstory is here, Job has some questions about God and his angels, right? And so God's response is, Job, where were you? Sorry, that's just me. That's the way I would have said it. Where were you at the foundation of this earth? And I'll ask all of you, where were you at the foundations of this earth? You were not even created yet. You were not, time was not even invented at this moment. And so God's response to him is, where were you? And declare, if thou hast understanding. Go, do you understand how it all works? Go, tell me. You get this way with your kids? I do. I get this way. I feel like, oh! I had my daughter tell me, I feel like, I don't believe you. Hand on the hip. How do they learn that so early? I don't believe you. And I just looked at her and I said, I didn't ask you to. And she goes, well. She says, I don't believe you. And I said, I didn't ask you to believe me. And I walk away and she goes, Daddy, I was just kidding. I believe you. And so I felt like God. Where were you? I created you. That's terrible. Let's keep moving right along. And so God is declaring to Job, where were you? Do you got any understanding? You want to enlighten me on this, Job? And let's look at verse 5. Who has laid the measurements therefore, if thou knows, or who has stretched the line upon it? Verse 6. Whereupon are the foundations therefore fastened? Or who laid the cornerstone thereof? When the morning star sang together, all the sons of God shouted for joy. So basically the Lord is saying, I don't really even need your permission. And if you think you know so much that's going on in the world, then where were you? And not only where were you, you have to pop a line. Anybody ever have construction and want to get it straight? You get this. I love it. I have one. I don't even honestly know the name of them. I don't know the name of a lot of tools. But my parents, my dad would always tell me, get, and he had names for things that I thought were names, and they were not names. I have learned that very quickly and very embarrassed when I use his names and find out people look at me weird. But the chalk line. So in normally they're blue, they have different colors, and you stretch it out and you get it level and you grab that string and you pop it. And it gives you the line to work with. Or if you're building like a porch of some kind, you get a string and you stretch it across and you put a little level that hooks to the line and you get that level right. You put the line where it's supposed to go and then you lay the board across the line so you have it straight. And God is saying, you know, this is the stuff that man, that you do to make sure everything is synced and everything is solid and everything. Look, there is nothing to nail to out there. There is no foundations. You can't even see the line. Where were you when the line was drawn? You got all the understanding? Where were you? I'm going to tell you something. If you disagree with the word of God, where were you? He didn't ask your permission at the foundations of the earth. You may read, I've had people read something, well, Pastor, I don't even just believe that. I mean, like, how ignorant are you? That God states something and you don't even believe it. Well, I don't believe, you know, yes, I understand this doctrine is in the church. And as far as I've studied it, yeah, I understand the Greek and the Hebrew and I've looked it up. But I just don't believe the Lord would do it that way. Well, who are you, Gomer? What can you do in this earth? Can you create a planet by yourself? You don't even understand. We as human beings don't even understand black holes or what they are. But yet we have so much knowledge. God is saying, who are you? And he says that when I created it, that the morning star sang. In the beginning, basically, we have reference to Lucifer, the morning star, and that they sang God's joy from the beginning of the creation. Has anyone ever worked on something, built a home or worked on your car that you had no idea what they were doing, but they got it up and running? And you look at it and be like, how can people do this? No matter how much amazed you were, the creation of the earth, if you watch that, you would be much more amazed. And the knowledge that God has, we need to understand that we are in the hand of the Lord Almighty, that there are angels that are surrounding us, that they are messengers of the Lord. And if God, he's got us covered. We don't need to get nervous. We don't need to worry. We need to do everything we know to do, but yet we need to keep speaking right. We need to keep thinking right. We need to keep looking at the situation right. Not looking at all the high mountain, but looking at all the big God. Yeah. And as we keep our eyes on the big God and His word and what He says He will do and begin to declare that over our situation, that there are angels that encamp around us, that live with us, that travel with us, and they hearken to the voice of the Lord. You may have an angel that has been laying in a hammock waiting for a moment. You begin to speak the word. He gets up and dusts himself off, says, I just heard the word. I must hearken unto the word.
Amen.
Can I tell you something? This is, I don't like to share a whole lot of my experiences from the pulpit of what I've seen, because, you know, you can't back some of these things up with scripture. So I try to leave my experiences out of things. And if I do, I like to tell you they were my experience. I was in a meeting one time and the minister was on stage and the Spirit of God just fell and there was a hush over the whole crowd. And he leaned on the pulpit and he just sat there for a moment, his hands, and I kind of opened my eyes, and all of a sudden I see an angel on his right side holding what looked to be, well, it was a leg, and I didn't see the ends of it. They were back, and it was kind of in kind of a V shape or U shape, whatever shape, and he's holding both sides of it, and he's standing beside the minister and his eyes closed, and I look down the aisle to see if anyone else is looking a little weird, and I look down the other side and no one is looking. I'm waiting to connect eyes with someone and go to know that I'm not crazy, that I'm not just seeing something. And as the minister is leaning, he begins to open his mouth. He says, right now, God is moving. God is healing people in this place. Someone, God is healing your knee. And just as soon as he said that, the angel stepped off the stage and disappeared. I couldn't see him anymore. And I thought, wow, that's strange. And I kept looking around to see if anyone else said it. No one locked eyes with me. And I never talked to anyone about it afterwards. But I did call a minister later, not during the service, but later. I said, tell me about this. And he says, well, you know, I can't really mention a whole lot about it, but he mentioned the scriptures. They hearken to the voice of the Lord. And I asked him, I said, well, would this was my thought. Would this have happened if he wouldn't have said it? And the minister said, the will of God is going to be done. And whether God speaks it, what if this? He said, Tim, what if this is where the prophet said, hear my Lord, send me. That God the Father, God the Son, and the God the Holy Spirit were having a conversation and that mankind overheard it. What if the minister was just leaning and the Spirit of God was moving and he just overheard a conversation? His spirit just connected with a conversation that was happening. He said, I'm not saying it would or would not have happened. What I'm saying is God was there. What you saw was an angel, and God gets praise for it. And so angels are ministering spirits. They are messengers. And we will continue to read about this, but I just wanted to cover the basics. We're going to go over, this is my last answer, our last question I'm answering, and I'm closing. How many angels are there? Turn to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 22. But ye are come unto the Mount of Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels. How many angels are there? They're innumerable. And when you look at America's, United States debt, I mean, we can go pretty high with our number system. We can count a lot. We can keep track of a lot. And God's word said they are innumerable. If you would see all of them, you would just look and say, can't count all that. Not if we break them up into 100s of sections. If we break them all, you know, this amount into a group of 100 in each group, we still can't count and come to a number. Angels are innumerable. Write these scriptures down and you can read them later. Daniel chapter 7 and verse 10 and Revelation 5 and 11. Again, that's Daniel 7 and 10, Revelation 5 and 11. And it goes back to the numbers of angels. And it says in one of them in Revelation, it says, and of them, 10,000 times 10,000. Thousands and thousands of thousands. You know what that's a fancy way of saying? I can't count that high. Innumerable. So what are angels? They were created by God. They are messengers. Where do they rank? Below God. And in our position, below us. And where and how many are there? They are innumerable. I've had somebody say, what if creation create? We're getting so many billions of people. What if we run out of angels? God's got us covered. And they are innumerable. We can still count how many people. You can't count how many angels. And so I hope I've answered a couple questions for you. We're going to continue along this subject. I call this one 101. Just wanted to go over the very basics of angels and their operation in the church today. They are still working. They are still carrying out messages for the Lord. They are still doing works of the Lord. And they hearken to His voice. They hearken to His word. The voice of His word. The Lord's word. When you speak the word, angels listen. Demonic forces listen. The creation of this world listens when you speak. When you begin to talk about God's goodness, all of heaven lights up. This whole earth lights up. All of creation is listening. Everything has ears. You know, it's interesting. I can't get into it. But the world, when we get into it and we look and break it down to its very, because they always said, what? Atoms were the smallest thing when we were in school. Then they go into the string theory, and they can break a string theory down that all atoms are created of strings, these little strings, these vibrations. And when you break that string down, it's actually sound waves, that everything is created by sound. And I personally don't believe that's hard for a Christian to believe, because God spoke and it happened. The very voice of God holds everything together. Oh, where were you, Job, when I popped the line of creation, when I sank the cornerstone? Where were you? It was all created in something that we say is invisible. But God, Jesus, created everything that's visible and invisible. And so when He created this universe, everything stuck together by the sound of His voice, and all of humanity responds. And Google this. Do you know water will actually tense up and release due to sound? And I'm not talking about sound waves like, you know, electronic, be like, because you can make water bounce with certain frequencies. No, voice, music. Certain styles of music will cause water to tensify or relax. Just sound. If water will respond, the rest of creation responds to the same thing. Let's go before the Lord in prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, may we not be forgetful that we are surrounded by angels everywhere we go.